That, of course, has nothing whatsoever to do with harvest. But I loved it because it was a great tune and a good song. But maybe, like me, you really struggle to connect with why we need harvest today. Because, like me, harvest didn't seem to make any sense, because harvest was about farmers planting things in the fields that were they were then able to reap and put into their barns. But that didn't really happen for me. Because when I was growing up, my parents weren't farmers, they're musicians. And we didn't get our food from the ground, we got it from Tesco's. And when it came, it was clean. And that was good, and it was great. We could eat it whenever we wanted it. So harvest didn't really connect for me at all, and maybe it doesn't connect for you. But harvest was there for the farmers to say to them, don't forget the God who has done all this for you. Don't forget the God who has done all these good things for you. And just like it was there to say to the farmers, don't forget God, it's there for us also to say something similar. Harvest is here for each one of us to be reminded that we shouldn't forget the God who made us. And we shouldn't forget the God who gives us so many really good things. Now, maybe you're like me, and that disconnection with harvest is really difficult. But if you think about it in that way, then it's helpful, because we all need to remember not to forget God. But the thing that sometimes I find is that people do tend to forget God. People do tend to forget God. I have a good friend I grew up with. We went to secondary school together. We were really close at secondary school. And we still stay in touch now and again. But the main reason I phone my friend is because he's an expert on cars. So when my car breaks down, I ring him before I go to the mechanic, because it's usually cheaper that way than getting the mechanic to try and fix it. But I do worry a bit with that friendship, that my friend just thinks all I care about is what I can get from him. The information about how to fix my car. And I wonder if, for some of us, that can be sometimes how we relate to God. Over the summer, we were doing various street work in Headingley and Horsforth and talking to different people about Jesus. And what we found was that very few people would say they didn't believe in God. Almost everyone believed in God. But for many people, they'd say, well, I believe in God, but I don't really have a lot to do with him. I don't really have a lot to do with him. And for a lot of folks, that's maybe how we relate to God. We believe in God, but we don't have a lot to do with him except when we need his help. When we want him to help us with a need, when we're sick, when we need his help. And we think about God at those times, but perhaps not so much at other times. And that's why it's so important, this message of don't forget God. Now, there's a book in the Bible that speaks about how people can live life forgetting God and the kinds of ways we can live our lives to forget God. And so what we're going to do just for a few moments now is we're going to have a number of readings from the book, and then we're going to think about how each of those readings tells us something, a way in which we can forget God. And the book is the book of Ecclesiastes. The book of Ecclesiastes, written by a man called Solomon, who was one of the great kings of Israel, and he wrote about all these different ways that people can live life whilst forgetting God. Now, the first way that people can live life and forget God is this. Some people get busy with fun. Now, Gordon's going to come up, and he's going to read for us from Ecclesiastes. It's going to be on the screen, so you don't have to turn there in the Bible. And he's going to read from us Ecclesiastes from the part where Solomon talks about people getting busy with fun and forgetting God.
I made great works. I built houses and planted vineyards for myself. I made myself gardens and parks and planted in them all kinds of fruit trees. I made myself pools from which water, to water the forest of growing trees. So I became great and surpassed all who were before me in Jerusalem. Also, my wisdom remained with me. Whatever my eyes desired, I did not keep from them. I kept from my heart no pleasure, for my heart found pleasure in all my toil, and this was my reward for all my toil. Then I considered all that my hands had done, and the toil I had expended in doing it. Behold, all was vanity, and a striving after wind, and there was nothing to be gained under the sun.
Okay, so some people forget God by getting busy with fun. They enjoy life, they have a great time, and because we enjoy life and have that great time, we forget the God who has made us. Now, there might be lots of ways this could happen. So here's some of the things that you might get into and enjoy and really get stuck into and forget God whilst doing them. So it might be running. So you might be really into running and you get so much into running that you forget God. Or it could be this, rock climbing. You like climbing up mountains and you get so into it that you forget God. Or perhaps it's this, playing a musical instrument. And you get so busy with it that you forget God. Or it might be eating food. Or perhaps being a restaurant critic. I'd love to be a restaurant critic in my spare time. And that'd be great. If you know me, you know why that'd be the case. But maybe you get so busy with that that you forget God. Or maybe it's this. Stamp collecting. You get into stamp collecting. You get so busy with stamp collecting that you forget God. Sometimes there are other people who don't just do one thing loads and loads and loads that they forget God. Sometimes they do lots and lots of different things. There's a different thing every week. So 1 week it's skydiving, the next week it's speed reading, and the next week it's exotic food. They have all these different things they get busy with, and they forget God. Now, did you notice that in our reading, Solomon said that whatever his eyes desired, he didn't keep from them. So he had all these different things that he wanted to do. He got busy with the fun. But in doing it, the person who got busy with fun in that way forgot God. And what Solomon found was that when he tried to live that way, it became vanity. Now that's a hard word, vanity, but it means meaningless or empty. So that vanity means empty. And what Solomon was saying was that if you get busy with all that fun and you forget God, then your life becomes empty. Your life becomes empty because you don't know the God who made you. You've forgotten the God who made you. Many hundreds of years ago, there was a man called Augustine. Now, when he was a young man, and he didn't look like this, of course, but when he was a young man, he was a real party animal. He had lots of fun. He had loads of friends. In fact, he tells us that he had loads of girlfriends. That was Augustine's thing. And he lived his life and had all this fun. He got busy with fun, but he forgot God. And then he became a Christian. He came to know Jesus. He came to trust in Jesus. And then in a prayer at the end of his life, Augustine said this, "You, God, have made us for yourself. So you've made us to know you. And our hearts are restless until they rest in you." Our hearts are restless until they rest in you. And what Augustine was saying was that we are made to know God. And that doesn't mean it's wrong to have fun. It doesn't mean it's wrong to enjoy God's world, but we mustn't forget God in all that fun. And we mustn't forget God in all the enjoying of God's world. So, some people forget God because they get busy with fun. But then there's something else. Some people forget God because they get busy with work. And we read about that in Ecclesiastes chapter 9. And Grace is going to come and read for us. Thank you, Grace.
Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verses 10 to 12. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. For there is no work or thought or knowledge or wisdom in Sheol to which you are going. Again, I saw that under the sun the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, nor bread to the wise, nor riches to the intelligent, nor favor to those with knowledge. But time and chance happen to them all. For man does not know his time, like fish that are taken in an evil net, and like birds that are caught in a snare. So the children of man are snared at an evil time, when it suddenly falls upon them.
So some people forget God because they get busy with work. They forget God because work gets so big to them, and it becomes the main thing that they forget to know their Maker. Now God says that work's a good thing, and the Bible says that work's a good thing. Now, boys and girls, your parents might take note of that because it might be later on in life that you don't want to do your homework. And they'll remind you that God says that work is a good thing. And it's a great thing that God has given us work to do. I would get into far more trouble than I do already if I didn't have work. And I think that's true for many of us, isn't it? God has been good to us in giving us all this work to do. But that work shouldn't mean that we forget God. That work shouldn't mean that we forget the God who's made us. And that sometimes is a problem in our day, that we get so busy with work that we forget God. Now, why does Solomon say we need to remember God? Well, we need to remember God and not allow our work to become everything to us, because he says we do not know our time. In other words, we don't know the day on which we're going to meet God, the day on which we're going to die and we're going to meet our Maker. And on that great day when we die, there will be one question each one of us has to answer. And it's this question: why should God let us into heaven? Why should God forgive us and welcome us into heaven? And we might have done some great things in our working life. We might have done some amazing things. So we might have built a big bridge. And we could say, God, I built a big bridge. Let me into heaven. Or perhaps we might have helped people in need, in sickness, and cared for people. And that would be a good thing. And we might say, God, let me into heaven because I cared for people. I helped people. Or maybe we played some amazing music, or maybe even composed some great music. We might say, God, let me into heaven because I made this amazing music. But on that day, none of those things will do. And the reason for that is this. The Bible says that each one of us has a problem, and it's a problem in our hearts. And the word the Bible uses for that problem is sin. And it's about the wrong things that we do. And those wrong things mean that we can't go to heaven unless God forgives us in Jesus. And so however big a bridge we've built, however many people we've helped, however many great things we've done in life, if we haven't been forgiven of our wrong things, then God can't let us into heaven. But the amazing thing is this: when we come and we trust in Jesus and believe in Jesus, then God forgives us and he welcomes us into his heaven. So God says, it's good to do your work, but make sure that you know me. Make sure you're trusting in Jesus, because that's what's going to get you into heaven. That's what's going to make you right with God. So some people get busy with work and they forget God. Don't be like that. Remember God. Some people get busy with fun and they forget God. Don't be like that. Remember God. Now here's our last one. Some people think they only need him later. And our final reading is going to be Judith, and she's going to read from Ecclesiastes chapter 12 for us. Thanks, Judith.
So this is Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, and then 6 to 8. Remember also your Creator in the days of your youth, before the evil days come and the years draw near, of which you will say, I have no pleasure in them. Before the sun and the light and the moon and the stars are darkened and the clouds return after the rain. Before the silver cord is snapped, or the golden bowl is broken, or the pitcher is shattered at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern, and the dust returns to the earth as it was, and the spirit returns to God who gave it. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher, all is vanity.
So the last way in which people can forget God is that they would say, I don't need God until later. I don't need God now. I only need God later. And to be honest, I meet a lot of people who think this way. And we say, well, we'll live our life now and we'll think about God when we need him, when we think we're going to need to go to heaven. And that's the point we'll worry about God. But for now, I'm just going to enjoy life and have fun and not think about God. And so in many ways, we treat God a bit like an insurance policy. You know what insurance policy is, boys and girls? It's something that you buy when you think you're going to need the help. And then it's there for you when you need it. And we treat God a bit like an insurance policy. And there's one big problem with that. And the big problem's this. We don't know when we'll need that insurance policy. There were lots of things in that reading about how life sometimes comes to an end quickly. So it talked about how a silver cord is snapped. That happens quickly, doesn't it? or a golden bowl is broken, that happens quickly. Or a pitcher is shattered at the fountain, that happens quickly. And what God wants to say to us in his word is that life sometimes comes to an end quickly. And sometimes we're not prepared for it in that sense. And so to put off thinking about God until it's later, until we think we might need him, is a very, very dangerous thing to do. It's a really dangerous thing to do because none of us know when we're going to need that relationship with God. But there's also something else that's wrong with that. There's two other things that are wrong with that. Number one, how do you think God feels about that? We just hold him in reserve when we need him. That's not the right way to treat God. And the other thing that's wrong with that is it's forgetting how good it is to know God now. How good it is to be in a relationship with God now. God's not just an insurance policy. God is our Father, who we can know and know now. So, how does everything finish in the book as we come to a close? How does Ecclesiastes finish when Solomon's thought about all these different ways that we can live and forget God? Well, Solomon ends by saying this. At the end of the matter, all has been heard. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Fear God and keep his commandments. Now what Solomon means there is not fear God like you're afraid of him, like you quake before him, but fear God means know God, be in a relationship with God. And Solomon wants to say to us that if we're living life forgetting God, we're missing something that's really important. We're missing something that's really, really important. And we need to come to know God through the Lord Jesus. A couple of months ago, advertising the new series of Downton Abbey, this photo was put out by the creators. But when they put it out, they forgot something that was really important. The photographer made a mistake in the photo. Now, boys and girls, look really carefully at that photo and tell me, can you see what the mistake is in the picture? Look very carefully. What have they forgotten? Now, put your hand up if you know. What have they forgotten? What's the mistake in the picture? I'll give you a clue. It's not something they've left out. It's something they've put in. And look at the mantelpiece on the right-hand side. Any hands yet? Any more hands? Can anyone see it? You've got some back there. What do you think it is, Isaac? That man's not the king. That's not right. No. Come on. On the right-hand side of the mantelpiece is a mistake. The picture's supposed to be from the 1920s. But look at the right-hand side of the mantelpiece. Samuel. There's a plastic water bottle. Can everyone see it? It's there. Yeah? They took their picture, set it all really carefully, but they left a plastic water bottle on the mantelpiece, which is not from 1920. It's from 2014. They'd forgotten something that was really, really important. And Harvest is here to say to each one of us, don't forget God. Because God is really, really important. God should be at the center of each one of our lives. And he comes to the center of our lives when we come and we trust in the Lord Jesus. So hopefully we've seen Harvest is not just about farmers in the field. It's not even just about fruit and vegetables. It's about remembering God, remembering the God who made us.